Good morning, everybody. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to sing some songs to begin our time together. Let's sing. Let's be joyful. Let's connect and let's encounter Jesus together. All right? Here we go. Well, hey, welcome to Revision. My name's Grant Anderson. I'm the worship pastor here. So excited to have you join us. What a beautiful morning, huh? I know it's a little chillier than normal, but I'd way rather have this than 98 and sweating through my shirt. So we're thankful for it. We're going to continue to sing together, right? worship our King. Come on, sing this out.
Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Oh, hero.
Oh, hero of heaven. You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, You have done great things. We dance Your freedom, awakened alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh God, You have done great. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You will do great things. And I know You will do it again. Your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. I know. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, You have done great things. We dance Your freedom, awakened to life. Oh, Jesus, I sing Your name lifted high. Oh, God, You have done great. Above it all, hallelujah, God, Jacob, oh, hallelujah, You have done great things, yes, You have. Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, Jacob.
Oh, hero
of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, You have done great things. We dance Your freedom, awakened alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh, God, You have done great. Oh God, You did search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. You came along and put me back together. Every desire is not satisfied here in Your love.
Come on.
Oh, there's nothing better than You. Oh, there's nothing better than You. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Together, Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the words that we sing together, the fact that we as a church can come together, that we can celebrate your goodness and celebrate your victory. God, we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for the way that you chase us down, the way that you love us fiercely. Thank you for this beautiful weather and the reminder of who you are as a creator. God, one of our visions is just that created people live like the creator. And today, as we hear from you, as we learn from you, help us to seek that out, that we would be more like you in this world, this broken world, full of division. God, we want to be like you, and we want to shine the light of Jesus to the people around us. And that light is love most of the time. And so we praise you for that, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we can be that to this world. And so teach us. We have open hands ready to hear today. In your name, amen. You guys can feel free to dismiss kids over to the kids area. If you haven't checked them in, there's a check-in station right as you walked in on that sidewalk, over in that direction. So, kids, have at it. Have an awesome time. We'll see you later. It's Mike's turn.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors at Revision. I'm excited to be here in the park today. How about you? All right, I hope all you tuned in to the live stream online are just as excited as the people at the park. I don't know, I couldn't hear you through the camera. I know you're probably a little bit warmer than all of us at the park, so congratulations on that. But I actually love this weather. Fall is my favorite season of the year, at least partially because it means football. Like, even in this crazy, weird corona year, fall still means football, and football means the return of some fun traditions. Traditions like Nebraska, forgetting it's the 21st century and pretending they're relevant. It's amazing that like 1 month ago, Nebraska released a statement that said, we will play anyone, anywhere, just let us play football. And then the Big Ten said, okay, we'll play football, here's the schedule. And Nebraska's immediate response to that was, wait, what? We didn't mean it. We didn't mean anyone, anywhere. We don't want to play them there. We meant we want to play easy games that we can win. Give us like Louisiana Lafayette at home or something, like a layup. And speaking of Louisiana Lafayette at home, that reminds me of another fun tradition. It's Iowa State fans every year being like, this is the year we're going to go undefeated. Our quarterback's a Heisman contender. If only they could play games against mid-major conferences like the Big 12 every week instead of facing those juggernauts from the Sun Belt like the Raging Cajuns, right? Football is fun. It's fun to have rivalries and to give your rivals a hard time whenever you get the chance, but sometimes it can go a little bit too far. Sometimes people take sports too seriously and they let it affect their lives in ways they shouldn't. And I know all of you out there who are not sports fans are nodding vigorously right now, like, yes. But even those of us who love sports know that this is true. I think the most recent example I can think of someone like going completely crazy about college football is a guy named Harvey Updike. Harvey was a huge Alabama fan, and in 2010, Alabama lost a game to their most fearsome rival, the Auburn Tigers, by 1 point in the Iron Bowl. And Harvey watched these scenes on TV of Auburn students doing what they do to celebrate a big win. They go to the corner of campus to this place called Toomer's Corner and unleash hundreds of rolls of toilet paper to TP these giant oak trees. And as Harvey saw the oak trees being TP'd, he snapped. He went out and bought this incredibly powerful pesticide, and he snuck onto Auburn's campus a couple nights later and poisoned the oak trees. And he was so blinded, like so caught up in this football rivalry, he actually thought that was a good thing, and he called into a nationally syndicated radio show and bragged about killing the trees, which resulted in him getting arrested, spending time in prison, and paying massive fines for what he did. And the trees ultimately ended up like dying. Right after they heard it, a bunch of environmental scientists in partnership with Auburn tried everything they could to save those trees, but it was a failed effort because the poison had gotten into the root system. And it actually took a while for the trees on Toomer's Corner to lose their leaves and shrivel up. And I remember one reporter from ESPN asking one of these environmental scientists, like, well, the trees are still green, they're still leaves. Does this mean progress is being made on saving them? And the answer that he got back was pretty blunt. No, the trees are dead. The root system has died. It's just going to take a while for it to show. And I was thinking about that this week, and I couldn't help but wonder how applicable that description of the oaks on Toomer's Corner is to a whole lot of people in our world right now. Kind of still looking healthy and good on the outside, but inside, something is dead and rotten, and it's just a matter of time before it shows. Like, I think if we're honest, that's probably at least partially true for every single one of us. We're surrounded by a whole lot of ugliness in our world. And if we're not careful, it can turn us ugly. It can poison the inside of us until it shows. And we can fake it for a while. We can pretend that everything's good on the outside, but deep down, every single one of us knows that there's probably some poison in the roots. There's probably some stuff in there that's going to show up eventually on the outside of us if we're not careful. Like, we're in danger of becoming pretty ugly people, looking good on the outside but rotten on the inside. We're in the middle of this series that we've been in for the last month or so called Pretty Ugly People, and we've been talking about how the ugliness we encounter in this shattered world puts us in danger of becoming really ugly ourselves. We've been talking about how we can avoid that, how we can avoid living lives where we feel the need to fake it, to crop, edit, and filter everything to perfection, how we can live lives where our insides match our outsides. And we've been talking about how to find beauty even in the middle of all this brokenness. And what I want us to understand this morning is that if we're going to do that, we got to pay attention to our roots. We got to be careful about the stuff that we're feeding our souls, about the places where we're plugging our lives into, hoping that there'll be a source of life. Because there's a lot of stuff out there in our world that promises it will be a source of life. And after we plug in, it ends up poisoning the roots of our souls, leaving us dried up, ugly, and dead. But there's one source we can plug into that'll help us flourish. If you got a Bible or a Bible with you this morning, you can crack it open to the book of John, chapter 15. John is sandwiched right between Luke and Acts. In John 15, we read about Jesus having, like, what scholars call the last discourse of Christ with his disciples, which is a fancy way of saying the last time he hung out with his 12 best friends before he went to the cross. And what he's doing during this last hangout is trying to give them a bigger, better vision, a revision of who he is and who he created them to be. And we're going to start in verse 1 of John 15. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. The words are going to be up on the screen. If you don't own one, please snag one from the Next Steps table before you go. Like, I know some of you are here for the first time this morning. Some of you are watching online for the first time. You got invited. We'd love to give you a Bible. They're free. If you're watching online, fill it out on your digital connection card that you need a Bible. We will mail you one. But Jesus, in verse 1, he's saying, this is who I am. This is who I made you to be. He says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans or prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. All right, first things first. When we hear the word vine, we tend to think of like little squiggly things that grow up around trees or grow on pumpkin patches. But what Jesus is talking about in this context is a grapevine. They were all over in ancient Israel. And the disciples, as soon as they heard him talk about vines and branches, pictured grapevines, which are not quite like pumpkin patch vines or tree vines. They kind of look more like little trees. They have a really solid, thick root or trunk. And what the disciples knew is that every sign of life you see in the branches, in the leaves, and in the grapes is completely dependent upon their connection to that vine, to that trunk. And so Jesus is saying, hey, I am that trunk. I am that vine. And for us, like, we don't need to own vineyards or know a lot about grapes to understand that that's the case, that you need to be connected to the vine in order to grow, right? Because none of us have ever gone to the store and bought a bunch of grapes, thrown them in the fridge and forgotten about them for a couple weeks, then opened up the drawer and found, like, bigger, fresher grapes in there. That's not how it works, right? As soon as grapes get cut off of the vine, they're dying. Or in a more technical, biological, scientific sense, they're dead. They're already dead. And it's just a matter of time before their appearance catches up to their reality. Like, they are on the way to becoming raisins. It's inevitable, right? And I think about that, like this word picture that Jesus is painting for us, and I so relate to it. Because I think in my life, and in so many of our lives, sometimes we don't have that deep, meaningful connection to the true vine that we were built for. And in those moments, we can, like, feel our souls. We can feel our hope, feel our peace, feel our joy shriveling up inside of us. We can feel ourselves becoming raisins. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not trying to look like a raisin. Okay, I don't think that's a compliment. I think if I went home today and told my wife, like, Jenny, you're looking like a raisin today, it would not go well for me. And I got nothing against raisins, right? These guys rocked pretty hard. They were pretty cool, you know, but I'm not trying to look like them. Everyone under 30 has no idea what that is. Just ask an old person, okay? But anyways, like, if I don't want to end up becoming a raisin, then I got to connect to the vine, the true vine. Now, let's use our reasoning skills for a minute. When Jesus kicks this thing off and says, I am, this is who I am the true vine, what is he implying? That there are other vines that aren't the true vine. When he says, I'm the true vine, he's saying there's a whole bunch of other vines out there in our world that are fake vines. They're vines that promise you they're going to feed you life. They're vines that promise you they're going to bring you what you want. And what they end up doing is just sucking the life right out of you. And I think some of those vines in our world are actually good things. There's stuff that we really get tempted into. They're these things that, like, that we look around us and our culture says, oh man, if you could just get that, then you're going to have everything you need. If you could just plug your life into that, then you'll be what you want to be. You'll have what you want to have. Like, this is the vine that'll bring you life. And maybe for some of you, that's a career. Maybe it's possessions or money or wealth or accumulation. Maybe for some of you, it's an experience. Like, oh, if I could only do that, oh, then I'd have life. Or a relationship or achievement or success. There's all kinds of things out there in our world that say, oh man, if you connect to me, if you plug into me, if you decide that I'm going to be the source of your life, the source from which you draw your identity, then you're going to find everything you ever dreamed about. But the truth is that everything other than the true vine ends up sucking life out of us rather than bringing life to us. You guys, your life is on the line when you're choosing your vine. Your life is on the line when you're choosing your vine. Because the truth is, there's only one source of life. The God who spoke life into being is the only one who can breathe life into you and me. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. I think maybe a better translation here would be the vine dresser. Like the one who cares for the vines. Because when I hear the word gardener, I don't know about you guys, but I think of like a little old lady in a cardigan and some Crocs. And she's got her gloves on and she's just obsessed with beauty. Like every flower has to be in the right, exact, perfect spot. It has to be beautiful. What Jesus is saying is the Father, the vine dresser, he has an obsession too. It's just not beauty. It's something completely different. He's obsessed with fruit. Jesus says, my Father lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit. And he cleans or prunes even the good branches. In some translations, maybe the one you're looking at right now says, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. But the word there in Greek is iro, which we translate everywhere else, lifts up. And our gut reaction, maybe yours is to think, oh, I like that so much better. That sounds so much more pleasant to think that like when I'm bearing no fruit, God lifts me up instead of cuts me off. And I want you to know if that's what you're thinking, I like that too. I do think it's better, but it's not more pleasant at all. It's actually really painful. You see, what happens with a branch that's bearing no fruit, what happened in the first century and what still happens today is that the vine dresser will take that vine and lift it up and put it on a trellis. And you know what a trellis accomplishes in the life of a plant? It shines light on something that used to be in the darkness. How many of you think it still sounds more pleasant now? Like, this is what God does with the junk in our lives. Jesus said, he takes that stuff that you've been trying to keep hidden, that you've been hoping nobody else would see, that you've been like, I'm going to keep that in the dark, and we're just going to hope no one ever knows about it. And I know I'm kind of a pretty ugly person here, but I'm hiding that. And God says, you're not hiding that. I'm going to go ahead and lift that out of the darkness. I'm going to shove it into the light. And now everyone's going to see it. And I know you don't want that, but I'm doing it so that you can bear fruit. I'm going to expose those parts of you you didn't want to expose, because I know that's the pathway to the life I made you for. And Jesus says he also cuts off good branches. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a vineyard or seen a picture of a vineyard right after it gets pruned, but it's massive carnage. Like in our minds, we think it's just a bunch of dead branches on the ground, but it's not. It's all kinds of living branches. There's green leaves scattered everywhere, grapes that had just started to grow scattered everywhere, every vine bleeding in 100 places from the steel that cut it. And the untrained eye looks at that and says, why? But the vine dresser says, wait. There's something better at the end of this pain. Like, I know this doesn't seem fun. I know this isn't what you wanted right now. But this is the only way to move forward and not settle for something smaller and something less. There's this beauty in the middle of this broken situation. I got to cut off even the stuff that seems good so we can get to the stuff that seems better. I'm cutting off the suckers. That's what they're actually called. Branches that grow on grapevines that look pretty. They kind of look like, oh, maybe some grapes could grow on that branch. But they're sucking nutrients away from the best branches. They call them suckers. And Jesus is saying right here, here's what God's going to do in your life. He's going to take that stuff that was not growing in the dark. He's going to expose it to the light. And he's going to take that stuff you thought was good. That stuff that was all right. That stuff you thought, well, maybe that could give me life. And he's going to cut that off because all it's doing is sucking resources and time and focus away from the best thing. The stuff that really, really matters. And it may feel painful, this process of exposing the darkness to the light. This process of getting rid of the suckers. But that's the way you can live full and free and chase the purpose and the meaning and the hope and the impact you were created for. Jesus tells us that's what happens when we connect to him. In verse 4, he says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, I love these verses. Jesus is telling us there is one pathway to the life you were created for. One pathway to meaning and mission. It's connection to me. Fruits don't happen without roots. That's just reality. Fruits don't happen without roots. You can't go buy a bunch of bananas at Walmart, throw them on your table, come back the next morning and expect more bananas. It doesn't work like that. Fruits don't happen without roots. But fruits are often evidence that the roots are growing, that the roots are healthy. When a branch bears fruit, that's how we can tell that it's alive. And if it doesn't bear fruit, it may be alive. It may still like look like it's connected to the tree, but it's only superficially connected. It's cosmetically connected. It's not organically connected. The roots aren't flowing, or the nutrients aren't flowing anymore. We know that a branch is alive when the fruit is there. The life isn't in the fruit, it's in the roots, but the fruit is evidence of life. And I wonder this morning, like when people look at us, when people out there look at you and me, when we look in the mirror, do we see evidence of life? Do we see evidence of life lived the way we desperately want to be living it? Man, the last few months have been hard in every possible, imaginable way. But even before the pandemic, even before 2020, so many of us were struggling to live the lives we wanted to live. So many of us were full of bitterness and anger and frustration and hatred and anxiety. Wondering like if we were just destined to be pretty ugly people forever. Faking it on the outside, but inside just full of this despair. Desperately hoping that nobody ever saw what we were trying to hide, or they would know how messed up we are. Or can we ever escape that? And Jesus has an answer for us here. He says, yes. When you connect to me, you bear much fruit. And in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us what that fruit looks like. He says the fruit that happens when we're deeply, intimately connected to Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Anybody here need more of that in their life in 2020? Then I do. I do. And the fruit comes from the roots. That is the fruit of a life built on Jesus. But can I have an honest moment with you guys? I think a lot of us want the fruit without the Jesus. Like we want what Jesus has to offer, we just don't want Jesus himself. We may even believe, we may even be convinced that he has some wisdom and some tips and tricks for living life that we could use, maybe even that we need, but we don't want to admit that what we need most is Jesus. We want what God has to pass on to us, but we want to pass on God. Because we like the idea. We like the fruit. We like the feeling of fruit. We like the purpose that it brings. But we don't like the idea of God being all up in our business. We're terrified of God getting in our space like that and invading our lives. And so we want the end result. But we want to chase the world's pathways to get there, and we can't. Because the truth is this: what we need most in this life is Jesus himself. It's Jesus himself. And when we connect to him, we bear fruit. We got to understand this too. When Jesus says, any branch in me that doesn't bear fruit is going to get cut off and thrown into the fire. It's easy to read that and be worried like, oh man, Jesus is saying, if I don't have like a ton of evidence, if I don't check all the right boxes and do religion right and do the right good stuff and avoid the right wrong stuff and earn my way, then I'm going to go to hell. Jesus is threatening me here. But I don't think that's what he's doing. I think this is actually just a continuation of his vineyard metaphor. He's saying, all the stuff that doesn't bear fruit is useless. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of it. This isn't a call for us to try and perform better. This isn't a call to self-righteousness. Like, oh man, if you are not earning your way to heaven, you're going to end up in hell. You got to go achieve it. You better do it right. This is an invitation from Jesus. Not a threat. He's saying, look, oh, this is what I made you for. You're built for mission. You're built for meaning. You're built for purpose. You're built to live every second of your life fully alive. And so what I want to invite you to do is connect to me. Find life in me, because nothing else is going to be able to feed you the life that you need. It's going to dry you up and poison you. So if you connect to me, if you plug into me, what you're going to find is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're going to start living the kind of life where the world looks at you and says, what is it that you have? You live differently than the rest of the world. I want that. And you're going to be able to very honestly look at those people and say, it's because I'm rooted to something different than the rest of the world. Because it's impossible to live the right life connected to the wrong source. It's impossible to live the right life connected to the wrong source. And so Jesus is saying, hey, find your source in me. He invites us to connect to him because he knows if we don't, we're going to end up settling for something less. We're going to end up settling for suckers that promise life and then suck it right back out of us. He's saying, please don't settle for a story that's tamer than the story I want to write in your life. Please don't settle for a life that's smaller than the one I knit you together to live. I made you for more. You're not just made of earth. You're made of heaven too. Because there's a streak of eternity in every single one of us. And that's why we have this longing for meaning. We're meant to live it. We're meant to make an impact that lasts long after we're gone. We were created to bear fruit. To be fully alive. And that's what happens when we anchor ourselves to Jesus. He actually promises us that. Check it out in verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, all this stuff. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. What a promise. The joy of Jesus living in us, joy that's complete. I don't know how many of you feel like your joy is complete in October of 2020, but I'm guessing not many. Not many. We're living in a weird season. You know, Americans make up about 5% of the world's population, and we use nearly 80% of the world's opioids. I know the pandemic has been tough, but like even before that, we lived in the wealthiest, freest society with the most opportunity in the history of the world. And somehow it seems we need to medicate ourselves just to survive it. Like we need cannabis and Jack just to get through our affluence. Which really begs the question, why is America in so much pain? And I think the answer to that question, at least in part, is that we have chosen the wrong routes. We've connected our lives to a whole bunch of stuff this world and this culture tells us will make us happy and give us life. We have believed that wealth will do it. We've believed that success will do it. We've believed that sex will do it. We've believed that power will do it. And we've sought life from those things. And what we've found is our life and our joy drained out of us as we chase those things. We found ourselves empty because all that stuff has ever been able to promise us is emptiness. Well, all the while, Jesus is promising us joy. The whole time. Like, we have a God, you guys, who is infinitely gracious, who's infinitely generous, and he makes us all these promises. And I know, like, some of you, even if you don't read the Bible regularly, even if you know very little about God, you know some of these promises, like, this God, this Jesus guy, he promises me a life in abundance. And I think most of us have focused on God's promises to about the same degree we've ignored his commands. But the question today is, are those promises true? Is Jesus really going to deliver on all that stuff? Can we really find joy that's whole and joy that's complete and joy that fills us up and joy that makes us into the people God created us to be? Can we find it? And the answer is yes. Jesus says, if you abide in me, what you're going to find is not temporary happiness, but a joy that's tied to your Savior and not your circumstances. So how do we do that? Like, what does it look like pragmatically to connect to Jesus, to remain and to abide in him? If I had to sum it up in a single word, that word would be relationship. We connect to relationship with Jesus, with the Father, with one another. And I know that sounds kind of ethereal, like how in the world do I connect to a relationship with Jesus, but it's actually pretty simple. Step one is this, just believe. Step one to connecting your life to the vine, to plugging it in to the source of the nutrients your soul needs, and just saying, Jesus, I believe you stepped out of eternity into history and you gave everything. You died on a cross so that I could be forgiven and set free. You paid the price for my sins. Then you conquered death by unlocking it from the inside. I believe. And Jesus promises if we just believe, he'll fill us up with his Holy Spirit. And the transformation process will begin. So if you've never done that today, or if you haven't done it in a long time, I just invite you to do it. Just do it. Just believe. It's that simple. It's free and it's easy. And if you do, check off a box on your digital connection card. We have resources we want to get to you. That's how you start. That's step one to a relationship. You believe that Jesus did for you what Jesus did for you. But there's a catch with that. It's easy. And it's free, and you can do it, and God will pour out his Holy Spirit into your life when you do. But the catch is, if he's going to be your Savior, he's got to be your Lord. He doesn't get to be one and not the other. Like, if Jesus has the power to save us, to reconcile us to a God we've rejected, then he's powerful enough that we got to follow him. That we got to say, God, I'm going to do it your way and not my way anymore. Not because I want to, but because I believe you're God and I'm not. This verse could not be more clear. This passage could not be more clear that part of connecting to the vine is obeying God's commands. But here's what I want every single one of you to know this morning, whether you're at the park or online. That is something God wants for us, not from us. God's commands aren't there to restrict us or to be some sort of trick or test to see if we're good enough to earn our way to heaven. They're there because God is saying, oh, you guys, I made you for so much more than this broken world. There is a better way. There's a way to life and meaning. There's a way to love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it doesn't look like the ways the world is offering you. Please do it my way. This is the way I knit you together to live. I made you for something better than all that life-sucking stuff that promises you meaning and then rips it away from you every second. Follow my way. And we can know what God's way is by cracking open his word. He gives us this incredible self-revelation to give us a picture of who he is and who he made us to be. We read the Bible. We can do it by praying. And I know for some of you, prayer is intimidating. You're like, how in the world do I even do that? Do I have to say the right words? It's not magic. It's just talking to God and trusting that the creator of the universe listens to you. And the other way that we find God, we find the pathway he has for our lives, we remain plugged into the vine that breathes life, is we do life together. We do life and faith and community in this thing we call the church. And I know for some of us that's intimidating. I said this last week and I'll say it again. There is no pathway to God that doesn't also lead us to his people. But that's a little bit scary. So we've been talking this whole series about this profoundly human impulse that we have to hide. To be like, I don't want everybody to know everything about me because I think if I was fully known, I would never be fully loved. Everyone would reject me. They'd be like, wow, you are so much more messed up than I could have imagined. And so community is vulnerable. It's scary sometimes to do life with other people. And to open up your soul and bear it to the people around you. And I know for some of us here, we don't want to join a house group right now because we're like, I hate Zoom. I'm zoomed out. I'm just sick and tired of being on video teleconferences, and I'm just like, ugh. And I know we're doing this for immunocompromised people and for people who can't connect any other way than Zoom, but until it's in person again, I'm not meeting it. If we don't do it the way that I want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And I have something to say to you. Whether you're in the I hate Zoom boat or whether you're in the community is really intimidating to me and I don't want to open up boat. None of you have ever seen a grape grow alone. Not one of you has ever walked into Hy-Vee and gone over to the grape section and saw one branch that just had a giant cantaloupe-sized grape on it and then brought it home like, honey, I didn't even need to buy a cluster. We'll just cut up the giant grape. You haven't seen that because grapes don't work like that. Ever. Neither do we. When you connect to the vine, you grow together or you stall. Those are the only two options God gives us. So I want to invite you to join a house group. Get connected to community. Even if you're intimidated by it, and even if you hate Zoom, because here's the deal. Not only does connection to community begin to feed your soul the nutrients that you need to grow, the nutrients that you need to start living the story God wants to write in your life, it also leaves you positioned and primed to make an impact. A little while ago, I said fruit is evidence of life. That's true. Fruit shows us that the vine is healthy and flourishing, but fruit isn't just a sign of life. Fruit is also a source of life. Like when your life begins to bear fruit, it not only allows God to work in you, but it also allows God to work through you. We all know this. When your life is full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that makes a difference in the lives of the people around you. So the sign of life in you is a source of life for people around you. I'm going to say it one more time. The sign of life in you is a source of life for people around you. People who are desperate for the hope you have. People who got a whole lot of suckers in their lives, who plugged into a whole lot of fake vines that have been draining them, that are dying for something real, dying for what you have. The fruit in your life can write a better story in theirs. When you plug your life into Jesus, when you connect to him and his people, your life bears fruit. Jesus guarantees that. He doesn't say, if you connect with me, you might bear fruit. Or you'll probably bear a little bit of fruit. He says, when you connect with me, you will bear much fruit. Much fruit. It's a promise that when you connect to Jesus, when you build your life on him rather than on anything else, your soul will find what it's most desperately longing for. And the world around you will find that through you and in you. Your life will help to create a better future for the people you're crashing into. Oh, you guys, that is a life worth living. That's a story worth writing. And so I just want to invite you today. I want to invite every single one of us today to avoid becoming pretty ugly people by deciding we're going to connect to the vine. We're going to build our lives on Jesus and do life alongside his people. That's the pathway to the life you were created to live. It's not a fast pathway. Like, fair warning, there's no shortcuts to lasting joy. There's shortcuts to temporary happiness, but no shortcuts to the joy Jesus promises. There's no, like, fast food, microwaved version of the fruit of the Spirit. Good grapes take time and care and patience and seasons to become ripe and mature. And it's the same thing for us. It's not a fast pathway, but it's a good pathway. It's one that builds us from the healthy roots out. And so get connected to the vine today. Because I think if we don't, if we just keep connecting to the fake vines, the world says they're going to bring us life. The world says they're going to add meaning to our stories and bring us significance, then we're going to end up dry and dead. We'll find ourselves chasing meaning and getting stuck with suckers instead. These things that look good, to us and maybe even the people around us, but just suck the life and the hope and the joy right out of us. Ultimately, we'll end up as raisins because we've been cut off from the vine and we're dead, even if everybody hasn't noticed it yet, because our appearance hasn't caught up to our reality. If we connect to anything other than Jesus, the end of our story is the same as the oak trees on Toomer's Corner, rotten from the roots out. We may look good for a little while, but eventually we're going to be dried out, dead, and robbed of purpose because we've been poisoned at the root. You can be pretty ugly people for a little while, but the truth is, eventually if there's ugliness inside of you, it's going to show on the outside of you. But you guys, if we connect to the vine, if we say, I'm going to ignore all those other temptations out there, I'm going to build my life on the true vine, the one source of meaning and purpose that will breathe life and joy and hope into me, then what we'll find is the lives we're longing for. And we'll be able to share those lives with a world that is desperate for that stuff. Will you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us despite our brokenness. Jesus, thank you for stepping into our story and giving everything so that we could be forgiven and set free. Lord, we're so grateful for the fact that you offer us life. Then even though we don't deserve any connection to that life, even though we don't deserve any connection to the vine, you're there and you're saying, hey, just plug into me. Plug into me so that you can live the life that I made you for. Stop believing the lies. Stop settling for the suckers. Stop searching for life in all the things that have only ever taken it from you and left you dry. Connect to me and I'll breathe life into you. And so, Lord, I pray today that we would connect to you. You'd breathe that joy, that fruit in us, and that our fruit might make a difference in the world around us, because we know right now, maybe as much as ever, people are hurting. People are hurting, and they're yearning for hope, and they're yearning for joy, and it's a hope and a joy that we have. Lord, will you grow fruit in our lives and help our fruit be a source of life for our hurting world? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you guys stand with us?
Raise me up in that silence is the enemy. And praise me up in that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise, let praise arise. Come on. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Cause we cannot survive when we praise you. The God of earth is on our side. Forever lift him high. With our creation cry. Storm inside me, let it rise, let faith arise, let it rise. We'll see you break down every wall, we'll watch the giants fall, cause we cannot survive when we pray. We've got a break in time. Oh, 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 oh. heaven sounds. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. Come on. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. We'll see you break down every wall.
Number one, if you have a cell phone with you, all of you do, don't lie to me, it's 2020, you use it a lot more than you used to because it's the pandemic and your screen time is way up, so just pull it out right now. I want you to text the word revision to 474747, you'll get back a text. It's a digital connection card. It's an amazing way for us to stay connected to you, you to stay connected to us. It's also a way for you to share prayer requests with us. Our staff cherishes the opportunity to pray for you guys every week. Our prayer team does the same, and if you need prayer right now, you can head over to the Next Steps table, that welcome banner, and be prayed for. Carrie, you're wearing a mask. Carrie's wearing a mask over there. She's wearing a white shirt. Please go get prayer now. Please fill out your connection card and let us know how we can pray for you. And if you're not signed up for a house group, check that box. We grow together. And then second announcement, just real quickly, you get a lot more information about this in the weeks to come, and we'll send it to you in a digital format, so it's not just me talking, but here's our plan moving forward. We've said that we're going to be outside in the park through the end of October, and we are, and then November 1st is a Sunday. We're actually moving back into the Clive Learning Academy on November 1st. They did some construction updates, so it looks less awful than it used to. So, I mean, that's going to be really exciting. We'll be shifting back to two services then, 9 a.m. and 10:30 at Clive, starting November 1st. We have a whole plan for how we're going to pull that off, and we will release that plan to you soon. But just so you know what's going on, we're here for the next three Sundays, and then we're back in Clive. It's going to be awesome. I love you guys. Have an amazing week. We'll see you next Sunday. You go, we will follow.
Miracles in the making. A miracle.